Thank you. Good evening, and thanks for joining. I know that it's been a very long day. Thank you for joining this presentation. So this is about cultural nuances and how to run effectively in a multicultural team. So a few decades ago, if you see, like, the people who used to work with people from other culture were very limited, right? These were people like leaders of countries, expatriates or diplomats, or even like high-ranking officials in private organizations. These were the people who used to work with people from other culture. Now the landscape has changed completely. With global organization, it's like people like you and me who wakes up in the morning, starts texting or sending emails or even jumping into a video conference with your boss or your peers or customers on the other side of the globe. On the other hand, we have global leaders for which there are people working for them from multiple cultures. So it is very important for these leaders to understand how the team members perceive one another and how the team members perceive the leader to have an effective collaboration between the team. So the point which I was trying to drive here is that understanding cultural differences and applying it to the daily life has become more important than ever. So today, I will walk you through three stories. These are three incidents which happened in my life, which has motivated me to learn more about the cultural nuances and what role it plays in communication, in collaboration, and even building trust when you're working with the multicultural teams. So these are stories. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy these stories. So a bit about me. Who am I? I am Ayyappadas Ravindran. Yeah, that picture. I'm Ayyappadas Ravindran. I was born in a very small village in Kerala, and most of my childhood and adolescence has been spent in a monocultural environment. The boy in the picture is not me, obviously, but I can relate to the picture a lot. So after my graduation, I moved to Bangalore. I started working with a multinational company. I have around 15 years of experience working with global organizations. So currently I'm put up in Bangalore. I live with my wife and two kids there in Bangalore, and I lead the SRE team in Bangalore. We have around 80 plus SRE engineers over there. So coming to my first story, this story is like quite old. This is like 15, 16 years old story. So after my graduation, and a short stint in a small company in Kerala, my native, I moved to Bangalore and I started working for a multinational company. So I was the first member hired in that team, and I used to report directly to my manager who was in the US. So we used to have our weekly one-on-ones. So mind you, like, this is like 16 years before, so we didn't have video conferences, we used to have it over the phone, right? So I only saw my manager after 1 year when I went to US and met him. So during our meetings, he used to ask in a very assertive tone sometimes, like, what do you mean, right? And I felt like he's a bit rude, and he's kind of challenging me. And also when he used to give me tasks, he used to tell me like what those tasks are, and then he used to repeat the same thing, what he said, and he used to ask me what I understood, right? So I felt a little bit miserable here, like, does he think that I am like a dumb person, I don't understand it in the first place, why is he repeating, right? So after a year, when I went to US and I met this person in person, and this guy was like a very nice human being, right? And he had very high opinions for my technical abilities, which felt like, I felt really happy about that, but still the question remained in my mind, saying that, why does he sound rude when we are talking over the phone, and why does he repeat things? So this is my first story, so please remember my US manager. We will come back to this story later. The second story is like around 6 years earlier. So I moved from an individual contributor to a manager. So I had a team in Bangalore, and I had my peer team in the US, and I had a manager over there as well. So one of my team members had a performance issue, and I was giving him, I used to give him feedbacks, and I used to discuss the same thing with my peer in the US. right? And he also had some feedback. So I thought it is a good idea if my US peer can directly talk to my team member and give him a direct feedback, right? So I requested him, he complained, and the meeting happened. After the meeting, I talked to my US peer and asked, like, buddy, how did the meeting go, right? Like, he said, like, the meeting went really good. I gave him the feedback, and he was very receptive. He acknowledged the feedback, right? I said, like, super, like, thank you very much for doing this thing, right? And I went back to my team member and asked him, like, how did the meeting go? He said, like, the meeting went fantastic, right? Like, it was a great meeting. There were a lot of positive things which my US peer told. And I'm getting a little bit surprised. Like, this is a performance improvement meeting, and, like, there are a lot of positive things which are told. I asked, like, is it all, like, is there anything else in that, right? Like, he said, like, yeah, there were, like, some minor concerns, but nothing burning as such, right? Like, I was, like, totally lost, and I was thinking, like, what the heck, right? Like, what feedback did he give, right? So this is my second story. We'll come back to this. This is just remember my US peer and the feedback which he had given. The third story is pretty recent. I moved to LinkedIn, and around in 2016, LinkedIn had a sizable engineering team in China. So the China engineering team exponentially grew in a very short span of time, right? Like, we have hired really, like, brilliant people over there. And most of the SREs, like in Bangalore, our interaction is with the US teams. We only had one team who used to interact with our team in China. So early in 2017, this few members from this team went to China and they interacted with the engineers in China, right? They came back and told us that the members in the Chinese team is not quite familiar with LinkedIn infrastructure, LinkedIn tools, and processes, right? And it's, like, severely impacting their developer productivity. So we thought that, like, me and my peers, like, these are, like, leaders of different verticals. So we thought that it will be a good idea to go back to China, understand what their issues are, and even, like, maybe give a couple of trainings, right? So to bring them up to speed. So we went there, we gave training. After the training, we asked, like, do you guys have any questions, right? And what we received was just a blank stare. So now I'm getting, like, nervous, thinking that I didn't do a good job in presenting, or maybe they didn't understand what we were trying to say, right? Thankfully, we had one member with us who was visiting us from US. He was part of the China seeding team. So he stood up. He picked a couple of guys and he asked, like, do you guys have questions? And indeed, they had questions. And these were, like, really good questions. They asked the questions, we answered it, and at least I felt really good about it, right? It was productive. So at that time, what I didn't realize was that this has to do with culture. I only realized it after some time. So these incidents happened, and I didn't bother much about these incidents, or I didn't think much about these incidents, right? So this clicked when I started reading about the cultural differences, and when I understood that what role does cultural differences play in working when we are working with a multicultural team. So what happened in all these three stories is that there was a subtle cultural difference between the parties involved in these stories, right? And they weren't aware that this was impacting their effectiveness in collaborating or working together. We have this notion that earlier, we have this notion saying that cultural difference is mostly to do with how you greet people, or how you handle a visiting card, or what kind of dress you wear, right? But that is just the surface. It's the tip of the iceberg. There is a much more subtle cultural differences which we need to learn and we should be aware of. So how do you solve these problems, and how can you be effective when you are working with teams, team members from multiple cultures? So first thing first is that, and this need to be engraved in the mind, right? Saying that there is nothing called good or bad culture in this context, or nothing called superior or inferior culture, right? It's just different. Also, to solve this problem is that you need to be cognizant that there can be cultural nuances, and the cultural nuances can impact your effectiveness when you are working in multicultural teams. The second step is to educate people. So now you are aware of it. You need to start educating your team members, your peers, or who you are working with, saying that there can be cultural difference and it can impact the effectiveness of how you work with them. So what we will, the good thing here is that cultural quotient, as they say, or the cultural intelligence is something which can be learned and can be used to improve the effectiveness when you are working with multicultural teams. In the coming slides, I will explain the part what cultural differences played in all these stories, all the three stories, and also will share some of my learnings on how to overcome these differences. So decoding cultural differences communication. Most of the countries, if you take the countries, Asian countries, like China, India, Japan, or even Singapore, people in these countries has been living in very closely knitted societies for thousands and thousands of years. While countries like United States or Australia, you know that people from different part of the world came together and start living together maybe few hundred years ago, right? So the first group has more shared context compared to the second group. This means that the cultures which have lesser shared context, whenever they are communicating, they need to be very explicit in their communication to make an impact, right? For example, in the US, since the country was formed by people from multiple countries, they immediately learned that in order for them to be effective, their communication need to be very explicit. So in that culture, a good communication is a to the point, specific, very clear and transparent is considered to be a good communication. Here the responsibility is on the speaker to make sure that the listener understands whatever he is communicating. These kind of cultures are called low context cultures because they have lower shared context between them. On the other hand, the cultures which have higher shared context, a good communication is considered to be implicit and sophisticated. So here the messages are both conveyed in spoken parts, and also there is messages need to be read in between lines. So the languages in this culture are contextual. So the words mean different in different contexts. For example, in Hindi, there is a word called kal, which means both yesterday and tomorrow, and the meaning depends upon the context, right? So the onus is on the listener to understand the meaning of the word based on the context. So these kind of cultures are called high context cultures. So the term high context and low context was first coined by an American anthropologist. His name is Edward T. Hall. He wrote a book in 1976 wherein he defined both the high context and low context cultures. The book is called Beyond Culture. So according to Hall, a message exchanged in a high context culture carries implicit meaning. Right, it's more than the words which are spoken, right? It has, you need to read between the lines to understand what the message is. On the other hand, in a low context culture, whatever the words are spoken, it means those words. There is no implied meaning there. Now, going back to my first story, wherein my manager told, like, what do you mean? He exactly meant those words. There was no implicit meaning in that, right? So me coming from a high context culture, I started interpreting whatever he said, and I thought that he is rude. So how do we, like, when we are working with cultures, multiple cultures, how do you structure your communication so that your communication is effective? So if you are a person who is coming from a low context culture, you may perceive a high context communication as secretive, lacking transparency, or even like you think that these people are like unable to communicate, right? So when working with these cultures, you need to practice listening. That's the important thing. So you are coming from a low context culture, you are working with teams which are high context. The important thing is that you need to practice listening. So listen to what they meant rather than what they said, right? And also, whenever you are in doubt, ask clarification. Like you ask questions so that you get clarity on what they said. Be receptive to body languages. This is very important. Like when we are like people who are from high context cultures, when you're talking to them, look for their body languages, look for the eye contact. On the other hand, if you are from a high context culture and you are working with people from low context culture, whenever you are communicating, make sure that you are very specific and you are clear, right? So you can assert your opinions transparently, and if you are in a meeting, it's a very good idea to recap the key points in that meeting. So whenever in doubt, this is something which I got from my manager also, right? Like whenever in doubt, rather than assuming, start asking things for clarity. Also, in when you are working with people in low context cultures, you are in a meeting and all, it's not quite right to be silent in those meetings, and also it's not quite right to be political, right? Because it sends a message of vagueness. So if you're working with people in with the low context culture, it's better to avoid those things. So the most challenging scenario when you're working with teams, you have people from multiple culture, the most challenging scenario is that a team which has people from two different high context cultures, right? So the rule of thumb here is like, if you are a global team which have people from multiple culture, follow low context processes. What it means is that be explicit, be specific, and be clear in your communication. This is the golden rule, right, when you're working with multicultural teams. The other way of doing it is that as team members, you accept that you have cultural differences, and in order for you to be effective in your communication, you need to define the processes, how you communicate. This is another way of doing it. Another important part of communication is like how you give feedbacks, right? So feedback is one of the important aspects when you are communicating, and different cultures, the feedback is given in different ways. Sorry about that, like I only have 5 minutes, it seems. So different cultures have different ways of giving feedback. So in some cultures, like a good feedback, whether it is positive or negative, is considered to be a direct feedback. If you give a direct feedback, they consider it to be a good feedback. So they think that a direct, very specific feedback will help the individual to grow. And an indirect feedback is considered to be more beating around the bush, right? So in some cultures, for example, United States, if it is a negative feedback, they think that if you give it a direct negative feedback, it may impact the morale of the person. So you always pad the negative feedback with positives. So when my US peer, when he was like going back to my story about my US peer giving the feedback to my team member, so whenever he was giving the feedback, he was padding all the negative feedbacks with positives, and my team member who was getting the feedback, right, he was overwhelmed with all the positive feedback, and when it came to the real matter of the negative feedback, like he was not even listening to that, right? So it was lost in translation. So let's understand a little more about how different cultures, when you're working with different cultures, how do you give that feedback? So if you are giving a feedback to someone who is from a culture which is low context and direct, the important thing is don't try to give feedback like someone from that culture does, right? So this is important because you never know when you are going to cross that line and when your feedback becomes inappropriate. If you're giving feedback to a person who is from a low context and indirect feedback culture, for example, US, so when you're giving the feedback, both positive and negative feedback, be very specific. The feedback should be very specific, but your negative feedbacks will be always padded with positives. When you are giving feedback to people from high context and direct feedback culture, this is more the some of the European countries, you use downgraders. For example, like when you're saying something, you can say like, it's a bit inappropriate. So you add the word bit before inappropriate, or you will say that it's not quite right, right? You add downgraders there. When you're giving feedback to people from high context and indirect feedback, this is more kind of Indians kind of people, right? So you don't even give a negative feedback in a group. You never ever do that, right? Even as a joke, you never do that. And the feedback is given over time. And you can also blur the feedback over food or drinks, right? Like give the feedback over dinner or lunch so the person doesn't take it negative. Also, there is the another important tenet in culture is hierarchy. So how hierarchy impacts culture, right? The term hierarchy itself may feel a little bit inhuman. So Erin Meyer, in her book, Cultural Map, has beautifully defined it, right? So in a hierarchical culture, the notion is that the relationship which exists in a hierarchical culture may be more like an master-slave kind of culture, which is like contradicting to the individual's freedom, right? She says that it's a little bit different in a Confucian way, right? In a Confucian way of hierarchy, it is a bit different. So in a Confucian way, when the lesser powerful members of the society or an organization is expected to respect and obey the powerful members of the organization, the powerful members of the organization has a heavy, I will repeat the term heavy, obligation to the lesser powerful members of the society to protect and take care of them. And this is called a reciprocal obligation. So in an egalitarian society, there is no this concept of hierarchy as such, and the power is equally distributed. The societies which we see currently lie, or the organization lies somewhere between hierarchical and being egalitarian, right? So a society is termed either hierarchical or egalitarian using a term called power distance index. So this was first coined by a Dutch psychologist. His name is Greet Hofstede. I hope I got that name correct. And according to him, the power distance index is defined as the extent to which the lesser powerful members in a society and organization expects and accepts the power to be unequally distributed. So if you are in an egalitarian society, the power distance index will be smaller when compared to a hierarchical society where the power distance index is larger. So coming to explaining my story in China, you need to use both two tenets of cultures. One is the high context culture and also the hierarchy, right? China being in high context culture, messages are passed more than the words which are spoken, right? So you need to be looking for body language clues. You need to read the air. So what that mean is that when I was supposed to look at people, my audience, and see like if anyone was making eye contact and should have understood that they had a question, and I had to call them out, right? Also, it's a very hierarchical society, or it is relatively hierarchical society. Let me say it is relatively hierarchical society. What that means is that they value a lot for respect. They give a lot of respect for seniors and elders and leaders, right? So they won't interject into your conversation, and they will ask questions. So you basically need to request them ask questions. So how do you, like when you're working with, how do you work with societies or cultures which are hierarchical, and how do you work with societies which are egalitarian? So if you are a boss and you are working in an, if you're from a low context culture and you're working, or you are from an egalitarian culture and you're working in a hierarchical culture, you need to be like a good Confucian and you need to be like a father figure, right? So the folks will be like following you to the word. In return, what you need to do is that you need to care and protect them, right? Like you coach, you mentor them, right? And if you're boss in a hierarchical culture, you need to invite people to conversation. You cannot expect them to interject and start giving you feedbacks, right? And if you're having a meeting in which you wanted to have feedbacks from your team, the best way of doing it is like you ask the team members earlier itself saying that, okay, I'm going to have this meeting, I want these inputs from you, please prepare and come, right? So that they prepare, come and give you the inputs. When you're communicating in an hierarchical culture, please don't skip the levels. So when you're communicating, you communicate at the same level. So in case if you want to skip the level and you want to go to someone under your peer, you always copy the same level person in the mails or communication, right? On the other hand, in an egalitarian culture, you don't need to copy your boss for everything, right? You directly go to the source. When you're communicating, you're directly going to the source. And if you're a boss in an egalitarian culture, you're more a facilitator than anything, right? So the best way of doing it is like to manage by objectives. What that means is that you set the vision and mission for the organization, and you ask the individuals to come up with the goals. Goals for that organization, I mean like individual goals, and you just get out of the way and allow them to work. So so these cultural differences and how it can impact your effectiveness when you're working with the multicultural team is a very vast topic, right? So the intention of my talk was to just trigger a curiosity so that you can read and learn further. So here there is some books which I have referred, and I will strongly recommend to read these things to understand more. Thank you for your time, and I hope it was helpful.